Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series teaching on the subject of financial stewardship. And I am really excited about this teaching. This is the beginning of my third week. So I've already taught 2 weeks on this. We've covered a lot of material. And I encourage you to please get the materials that I'm offering. This is a lot of the same truths that you hear talked about finances often, but from a different perspective. I believe it's a fresh teaching. It's a teaching that will liberate you. You know, in my own personal life, of course, I've been trusting God in my finances ever since I was a little kid. I remember when I was, just 7, 8 years old, I always gave every single week. My parents instilled this in me about tithing. And so to some degree, I've been operating in this my whole life. And when Jamie and I got married and started in ministry, of course, we were giving and doing things, but we struggled for decades. Even though I was giving, I struggled. And we just, I tell you, there's times that we could have died physically. Our ministry could have died because we didn't have the money. And we just had a number of problems. And then I forget the exact timing on this, but it's probably somewhere around 15 years, maybe just under 15 years ago now. I needed a financial miracle. And I mean, I didn't need just a one-time deal. I knew that I needed a breakthrough in finances. And it's a long story, but the revelation on finances just exploded on the inside of me. And I mean, it changed everything. And instantly, you know, some of you won't relate to this. You won't understand what I'm saying. You may dismiss what I'm going to say because you think, oh, there's other reasons. But prior to that revelation that God gave me, I would go hold meetings. I would invite other people to come. I would have different speakers. I would have a praise and worship group, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc. And I would often use churches. But anyway, these meetings were pretty much similar. By the time I gave offerings to all of the speakers, by the time I paid their expenses, their airfare, their hotel, and gave an offering to the church for the use of their facility and stuff like this, our expenses were around $10,000 for this meeting that I'd put on. And I'd been doing this for years. And it was just always right around there. And our offerings would come in at like $10,005 or $9,995. We would be within $5 to $10 of covering those expenses. And of course, the way I looked at it was that even though, you know, I wasn't making a huge amount of profit off of the meeting itself, I was making contacts with people. People would be blessed. They'd become partners. And over a long period of time, the meetings always paid for themselves. Maybe not right the time I was there, but as people became partners over the next year, you know, our income from that area would increase. So we were doing okay. But this is kind of the way that my whole life was. It was just get by. It was just get along. It was have enough, but never a supernatural abundance. And it was right during this period of time that the Lord showed me the things that I'm sharing with you about financial stewardship. And when the Lord showed this to me, I don't know how to describe this other than when you get a revelation from God and it becomes alive in your heart, there is a power, there's an anointing that is released that it changes things in the physical. And here's where I know that some of you are going to have a disconnect because you think, oh no, there's got to be some physical thing that happened. I can honestly tell you that I had been holding meetings like this for years, and it was always the same. We were within $5 or $10 of always hitting the exact amount of expenses. And I had meetings already planned and scheduled, and I scheduled them exactly the same. I brought in the same people. I did everything exactly the same. Nothing in the natural change, but in my heart, I got a revelation on finances. Faith exploded on the inside of me. And the very next time, after God had shown me these things I'm sharing with you, I went out and held a meeting. And again, the expenses were right around $10,000. And instead of getting $10,005 or $15, we got, I think that the exact figure was like $23,000 or $24,000. We more than doubled. And I didn't do anything different. I didn't tell the people anything differently. I'm just saying it was because of the way that I believed in my heart. And again, I know that many of you think, oh no, there's always something physical. And we are always looking for a bigger job, for this, for that. But I'm trying to say this with all of the authority that I have to try and influence you and get you to believe this, that with many of you, it is not the things you're doing in the physical that's causing the problem. It's a lack of understanding. It's a lack of revelation. It's as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if you would take these truths that I've been sharing on financial stewardship and put them into practice in your life, it's a change, excuse me, it's a change in your heart. It's a change of belief system. You may not even change anything physical, but when you change and start believing differently on the inside, you're going to get different results. And I want to encourage you, I know that. And the things that I've already taught, there's no way I can go back and summarize this. So please get these materials. These materials are what changed my life. Actually, they're the results of what changed my life. These are the truths, the revelation that God gave me. And therefore, I started teaching these things as a result. And I'm just telling you that this has made a radical difference. Now, on last Friday's program, I was teaching about the unjust steward. And again, this is my third teaching in this six-part set that I have on financial stewardship. And for Thursday and Friday of last week, I taught about this unjust steward and showed how he had been stealing money, and yet his master commended him. And we talked about the attitude of the master. Now, that's a powerful teaching. I hadn't got time to go back over that. But boy, it's important that you understand that this man, he did not, his money didn't have him. He had money, but money didn't have him. He was not so heartbroken when he saw somebody stealing money from him that he couldn't be detached and objective and look at this and find something to compliment this thief over. We spent a whole day talking about that, but boy, that is an attitude that reveals a lot of things. And most people today are so dominated and controlled. Money is such an oppression upon them that they can't be objective. They are, in a sense, driven by money. This master wasn't that way. And last Friday, we talked about what was it that he commended this steward for. He was still stealing money. The thing that he commended this steward for was that prior to this time, all of the money that he had stole, he hadn't invested it. He hadn't used the power that was in that money to affect his future. He had just blown it on temporary things. And you can prove that in Luke chapter 16, verse 3. It says, "Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed.'" So that shows that he didn't save any of this money. He didn't put it away. He didn't buy anything that was an appreciating item that he could sell and get money out of. The guy was basically broke. He had blown all of this money on temporary stuff. And you know, I made a point last Friday that is just so pertinent to where we are today. We are in, not only here in the United States, but around the world. I've been traveling, and I mean in every country you hear the same thing, that there is a world economic crisis. People are talking about all of these things. And so this is true not only here in the U.S., but around the world. We got more people watching this program outside of the U.S. than we do in the U.S. So I'm saying that this isn't limited just to the U.S., but you hear so much talk about our financial hardship and this crisis and these situations. You know why we're in this situation? Now, this is really simplified. Some of you may think this is way oversimplified. But the bottom line, it's the same problem that this steward had. He had a lot of money. He had not only his wages, but he had been stealing money and doing all of this. But He had blown it. He had spent it on temporary things. He hadn't bought appreciating items. He hadn't invested it. He hadn't hidden the money someplace. He had blown it. It was gone, and now he was facing a crisis. It wasn't just financial, but it was basically financial, a crisis. He was going to lose his job. He was going to be out on the street, and he was in a financial crisis. You know why? Because he had not been a good steward. You know why the world is in financial crisis right now? Because we have not been good stewards of money. And what I mean specifically by this man had spent all of his money on temporary things. You know why the world is in the crisis that they're in? Because they are not thinking long term. They aren't thinking about the future. They are mortgaging their future to be able to have everything today. As a matter of fact, you know, the Reader's Digest, I was reading that this last week, and to try and put things into perspective, they went back and took quotes from the Reader's Digest back during the Depression, back during all of the recessions that have happened since the Great Depression, and they were taking quotes of different people. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the man's name right now, but this was from 1963. And this man said that prosperity is when people buy things that they can't afford. Recession is when people quit doing it. And, you know, I believe that that really simplifies and puts into perspective what's happening. You know why people went through, we've been going through this boom of prosperity? People have been buying everything on credit. Specifically, the thing that triggered it all here in the United States is the mortgages. People were giving mortgages where you didn't even pay anything on the interest. You got zero interest, and you just did these things. And, of course, there was balloon payments. There was adjustable rate mortgages, and people would buy as much as they possibly could. They were buying 5,000 and 6,000 square foot homes and doing all of these things. They were buying things that they couldn't afford, not thinking about the future, just thinking about the temporary. And because the credit companies were making it so easy, they mortgaged their future. I made these points in more detail. I'm not going to go back over all of that. But when you buy a house or car, anything on credit, you wind up paying for the things 2 and 3 times over what the actual cost is because of all of the interest. And people just ignored this. They didn't look at what they could really afford. And because of this, they just forgot. And they entered into these rates that in 4 or 5 years were going to kill them. And they didn't care. It was, I could get this now. And they were just hoping something would happen. That's irresponsible. That's not managing money. Now, some of you watching this program are in the grips of those decisions that you've made. Maybe you feel that I'm ragging on you and trying to criticize you. That's not my point. I'm just saying that there is a direct parallel between the things that are written right here in Luke chapter 16 and what's going on in our world today. The reason this whole financial crisis is happening is because people ignored the future. They quit thinking about the future and they just indulged themselves, got as much as they possibly could, forget the future. And I guarantee you now it's all coming crashing down around their heads. This is exactly the situation. And why was this man commended? He was still stealing money, but this time instead of taking the money and just blowing it on TVs and DVRs and things like that, he was now taking this money and he was giving it to people that owed money to his master. In a sense, he was using the power, the influence of this money to bribe people. And the logic was that when he got fired, he'd be able to go knock on their door and say, do you remember that I discounted your bill the equivalent of $20,000, $30,000, $40,000? Do you remember how much I blessed you? And they, oh, yes, we're so thankful. Well, I got fired. Could I stay with you? Could I mooch off of you? Could I eat your food? Could I live with you for a while? He was using his master's money. He was still stealing the money, but instead of putting it in his pocket, he was using it to bribe and influence people. And his master commended him. Not commended the fact that he was stealing money, but commended him in the fact that finally you are learning that the real power of money is to influence your future. Instead of just using it on temporary things, start being responsible. Start living with less than what you could max everything out. Instead of getting the house that just pushes you to the absolute limit, get one that is less than what you could possibly get enough credit for, and begin to start building equity and put money aside and plan for the future. Instead of buying a $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 car and spreading the payments out over 6 years so that the thing's going to die on you in 3 or 4 years and you're going to wind up upside down in this thing, and then you're going to have to take the money you still owe against a car that doesn't even work and roll that into a new loan, and eventually you're just digging yourself this hole that in 10 years or 15 years you're going to have a train wreck. And then you go to God and, "God, what's wrong?" It's because you aren't being a steward. It's because you are indulging your lust. It's because you pay for a car 2 and 3 times over what it's worth by the time you get through making those payments. You know a better way? And that's to buy a car that is less than everything that you want. A car that'll work, that'll supply your needs, but you pay less. You get it paid off just as fast as you can. Or even the better thing would be to buy a used car, one that works with the money that you have, and then take the money that you would have been spending on payments and just set that money aside. Save and invest. And then after 2 or 3 years of driving that car, take all of this money that you've saved up and go buy a better car. Probably in 2 or 3 years, you won't have enough to buy a brand new one that's everything that you want, but you could buy a better car and do the same thing and just keep setting that money aside. And you know what? Over a period of time, this is what my wife and I did, and I think it was about 10, 15 years, we were able to start buying our cars brand new cars, very nice cars, and paying cash for them. You know what? That's stewardship. That's discipline. That's not just indulging your lust. And of course, the world would be screaming against what I'm saying, but you're having to do without for 10 years. But you know what? I am not paying for those cars 2 and 3 times what they're worth. If you buy a $30,000 car on credit, you're going to pay over $60,000 by the time you get through. Tell me who's the good steward. You know, it just doesn't make sense. Many of you say, "Well, I don't like to think like that." Obviously. Amen. But see, these are some of the lessons in financial stewardship. This is the very reason that this steward was commended, is because finally, out of being forced into it, he started realizing, "I better use the money that I've got to plan for my future." And that's the reason that the master commended him. And then listen to this. This is the whole point of this parable. This is what Jesus made the application in Luke chapter 16, verse 9. "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness." That's just an old English way of saying use money to make friends, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. This same word that was translated fail was also translated die. That's what it literally means. This is saying use money to touch people's lives and make friends so that when you die, they will receive you into heaven. This is describing that when you pass from this life to the next life, if you have been a good steward and if you have used money not primarily to satisfy your lust, to get bigger, better, all of these things, but if the dominant use of your money was to touch people's lives, if you invest in the gospel, if you send money to missionaries, if you give to your church, if it's a good church, if you steward your money properly, and if you put money into changing people's lives, then literally, when you die and enter into heaven, there will be a line of people lined up to welcome you into heaven and say, "Thank you for the way that you use this money to influence my life." You know, that's actual. That is exactly what Jesus is talking about right here. I believe that there's some people watching this program that if you make it to heaven, nobody's going to be there to greet you. Now, I guess going to heaven is good enough. But you know, how much better would it be? Let me just turn around and say it this way. I know that many of you are saying, "But oh, I've got all of these things I want. I want a bigger house, a bigger car. I want more of this. I want the biggest television I can get. I want this. And then, and we got this list of all of these things that we want. And you're thinking, but I might have to give up something. When we are on the other side, when we've been in heaven for 1,000 years and this world is gone, and your house and your car and those clothes and those jewels and all of the things that you just lusted after so much here on this earth, all of those things are going to be gone. None of them are going to remain. And after we've been in heaven for 1,000 years, you will come up to me and you will thank me, you'll hug me, you'll kiss me, and just thank me and thank me and thank me for helping you to put money into the kingdom of God. All of these things that are so important right now are just temporary, but all of the money that you give away and that you use to influence people, literally, it's going to change lives, and there will be people lined up in heaven to welcome you into heaven and to thank you for the way that you took your assets and the power that this money gave you to influence lives. I don't know about you, but man, that radically changes the way that I look at money. Money is a tool. And it's something that, yes, there are physical needs. Yes, we have to eat. Yes, we have to be clothed. Yes, God wants you to live in a house and not live on the street. Yes, there's things that God wants you to do. But, you know, how much do you have to be content? I mean, how many diamonds do you have to be happy? When you begin to start seeing things this way, then it shows you that the real potential of money is to change your future. It's to affect people's lives. It's to bring people to heaven with you. You know, you can't send money to heaven, but you can put money into people's lives, turn it into changed lives, and you can bring these changed lives with you to heaven. You can transform a person's life. Every one of you have the potential to use your money and to be a steward of it. And even though I've used a lot of natural comparisons and things, the highest use of your finances isn't for things that are natural. It's for spiritual things. You can take something that is physical, money, that is going to pass away, temporary, and turn it into something eternal, a changed life, that 1,000,000 years from tonight will be rejoicing in the presence of God instead of burning in hell because of money, because you use that money to influence people's lives. I tell you, that's powerful. And if you understand that, that's the reason that Jesus taught this parable. This man had wasted his money, just blown it on things that didn't last. He finally was forced into realizing, I better use this money to influence my future. And of course, that was just in the natural realm. But the same thing is true of us. We need to use our money to affect eternity, to change people's lives, their destination of where they're going. Preach the gospel, reach out. Touch somebody's life. Use money today for something instead of just satisfying yourself. Bless somebody else. Bless somebody. Do something. You know, you could go through Starbucks today and instead of just paying for your drink, pay for the person behind you. And you could change a life. You could touch a life. You know, I'm out of time today, but I've got a lot more to share on this, so please listen in tomorrow and listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can receive all of these materials.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a 6-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The third teaching in the audio CD album, The Unjust Steward, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. Request teaching number T017C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I know that some of you today, as I was teaching, were probably convicted by the Lord and thinking, you know what, I'm not sure that I've ever had a genuine conversion, and my lack of trust in God in finances is an indication of it. And maybe today you've been convicted by the Lord and you realize you need to really commit your life to God and start trusting Him and be truly born again. We've got a helpline where you can order these materials. If you'll call, they'll give you these materials. But also, we have some very mature people on our phones who will pray with you. And you could pray a prayer with them. They could tell you how you need to pray, what you need to say, and you could be born again today. And they'd love to pray with you. So please, we got that number on your screen. I encourage you to call today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got four services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night, and then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida. Remember, this is April the 19th through the 22nd, Merritt Island, Florida, at the East Coast Christian Center.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, Chicago, Illinois, May 7th through the 9th, and in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th. Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference, May 21st through the 23rd, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
Instead of thinking, oh God, I just got to have the newest, best of this, you'll think, oh God, help me to touch someone's life. Help me to take something that is perishable and turn it into something that is imperishable. Help me to take something that is carnal and turn it into something spiritual. Help me to take something that is temporary and turn it into something that is never going to pass away. And you know what? When you get to heaven, you're going to find millions of people lined up to thank you for what you've done to bring the gospel unto them.